Busy TV.
Now today I'm going to talk to you about living and dying unto the Lord, and eating unto the Lord, or not eating unto the Lord, smoking unto the Lord, or not smoking unto the Lord, drinking unto the Lord, or not drinking unto the Lord. Are you getting the impression that the key phrase of this talk, of this MZ TV episode, is unto the Lord? Then you are correct. I'm going to continue in Romans 14. This time I will be quoting from verses 6, 7, and 8. Now, before I do that, earlier this week, I mentioned the things I use in this world to survive and to help me through, to help get me through. All things are yours, number one, and God has given us all things richly to enjoy. And I mentioned kratom. Some of you may not have heard of it. If you have problems with depression, this stuff is really good. I'll tell you a little bit about it, but before I get you excited about this, I'm not recommending. Yeah, I guess I am kind of recommending it. Before you get excited about it, there are seven states, maybe six, where kratom is illegal. That's how good this stuff is. Let me see how many states we got here. One, two, three, four. In six states, this stuff is illegal. I'm holding a bag of it now. This is green Borneo. I'll tell you where I get it. This is a leaf. It's 100% natural. God made it, just like marijuana. And it grows in Indonesia, Malaysia, places like that. It's been used for centuries to help people get energy and to feel good. I mean, this stuff is amazing. It's so amazing, again, that six states in the United States put this stuff, kratom, in the same category as cocaine and heroin. That's right. If you live, and I'm sorry if you live in these states, if you live in Alabama or Arkansas or Indiana, Rhode Island, Vermont, or Wisconsin, this plant that God made to make people feel good is illegal. So I never recommend you do anything illegal. So if you live in either Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Rhode Island, Vermont, or Wisconsin, I'm sorry. But you can't take this stuff. Now, what about other countries? Here's a list of countries where kratom is illegal. If you don't hear me name your country, then kratom is legal where you live. Some people call this stuff kratom, but there's no help for those people. Kratom is illegal in Australia. Sorry, I'm sorry. Illegal in Denmark, Finland, Israel, Japan, Latvia, Lithuania, Myanmar, Malaysia. Malaysia, it's illegal in the place where it grows. New Zealand, sorry, unless you have a prescription from a doctor. Poland, I am sorry to our brothers in Poland. And we have any sisters in Poland? I'm more of two brothers. I don't know of any sisters. If there are, I'm sorry. You can't take kratom. Romania, Russia, Singapore, South Korea, Sweden, Thailand, and Vietnam. So apparently, if you live in North Korea, if you're watching me from North Korea, on the wonderful free internet there, then you are able to take this wonder substance made by God. It's just like a green tea. It's a ground powder. Let me see it in there. Can you see it in there? No. And it smells like green tea. People who are coming off heroin are prescribed this stuff because it imitates an opioid. Now, it's not an opioid, but it imitates one. It's actually from the coffee family. It's addictive, yes, like coffee. It's addictive. But, I mean, I've gotten off of it twice, like for a year. It's just, I get off of it the same way I've gotten off coffee before. You just taper down till you don't use it anymore. It's not a problem. But I will say, yes, you get dependent on it. Having said that, this stuff just makes you feel peaceful and like you're able to cope with problems. It's a euphoria, really. And depending on the dosage, you know, it'll last for 4 or 5 hours. And it lets you down gently, like lowering a baby into a crib. The first time I tried it, I was hanging out with a person who was an ex-drug addict and was coming off of heroin and using this stuff. And she said, you want to go to a Kratom bar? This was in West Palm Beach. I'd never heard of such a thing. I go, what? Okay, let's do it. So I got a cup of this stuff, and they generally mix honey with it. It tastes like the bottom of a river. So it's not like a sipping beverage. What you do is you put a tablespoon, say, in a cup, pour enough hot water in it to stir it up because it's not very water soluble. Stir it up and then add a little cold water and just chug it down. It's medicine. You just take it like medicine. It tastes like crap, but don't worry about that. So I took this stuff in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes went by, and I told my friend, I'm sorry, I guess it's just not doing anything for me. She said, just wait, hang on. So 10 minutes later, I said to her, this is weird. She said, what? I said, I don't feel like killing myself. It's like I feel like I can handle things. Everything's rosier. Yeah, if you're depressed, and if you're not in one of these freaking states that made a plant illegal, then I recommend it. I do. But I'm telling you, it is addictive, but it's no more addictive than coffee. I go, you can, in the states where it's legal, you can buy it at places that sell kava. There's places in Florida where I can buy this stuff at a store. There's a brand called OPMS, and this is the green Mengda. There's four different strains. You got your reds, got your greens, got your whites, got your yellows, and they all have different properties, different characteristics. So this is green Mengda. You have your Mengda, you have green Borneo, you have green Malay, you have white Borneo, you have red horn. That's what this is here. The company I buy from online is Kratora.com, Kratora.com. Another good place is Top Extracts, TopExtracts.com. God made this stuff, and this has really helped me with my depression, and it works every time. Take a little bit to try it, make sure you don't have any kind of reaction to it. And then, And then rely on 1 Timothy, 6:17. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. So, Romans 14, verse 6. He was disposed to the day. That is, somebody who has to observe a day, somebody who observes the Sabbath, is disposed to it to the Lord. And he who is eating to the Lord. That is the one who thinks that peanut M&Ms are just fine. Bacon is just fine, for he is thanking God. And he who is not eating to the Lord is not eating and is thanking God. Verse 7, for not one of us is living to himself, and not one of us is dying to himself. For both, if we should be living to the Lord, we are living. And if we should be dying to the Lord, we are dying. Then both if we should be living and if we should be dying, we are the Lord's. For this Christ died and lives, that he should be Lord of the dead as well as of the living. I'm going to say some controversial things right now, but I'm basing it on this verse. And I want you to notice the phrase that keeps coming up here, and that is to the Lord. Paul uses it five times. Then to screw it home, he adds, we are the Lord's. The idea is for us to live. Here's the idea. Here's the whole thing to me. This is what it boils down to. We are to live to please one person, to please one capital O, and that's the Lord. And how this beautifully reduces life to a simplicity. You don't have to please 100 people. You please the Lord. So if you think that refusing to eat meat is pleasing to the Lord, then do it and be happy. Live in your own world of you and the Lord. That's it. Now see, when Paul uses the title Lord versus the title of Christ, the Lord has to do with our daily lives. The English element of the Greek word kurios there is sanctioner, translated master. He's the one who runs us. Christ is the exalted title. speaks of his office, what he does. But Lord speaks of how he goes through life with us. So again, if you think that refraining from eating certain foods or wishing to observe certain days, if you think that it's pleasing to the Lord, then to you it is pleasing to the Lord, and so you do it under the Lord. On the other hand, if you think that eating shrimp wrapped in bacon and washing it down with whiskey is pleasing to the Lord, then do it and be happy. You do it to the Lord. This is what Paul says here. And you don't worry about anyone else's opinion. Now, as I told you, there are times when it's good to worry about other people's opinions. That's when they're right next to you. And you don't want to do something in their face that you know that they're squeamish about. I'll talk about that later. But in the most basic sense, you don't do or not do things to your wife or to your husband or to your child or to your Aunt Mary. Because oddly enough, some of these people I just mentioned are harder to please than the Lord. That's right. The God of all gives us more latitude than some of the people closest to us give us. And that's strange. Paul says if we're living to the Lord, if we're dying to the Lord. What if you're living? There's only two choices here, living and dying. I told you, this reduces everything to simplicity. If you're living, you live to the Lord. Yeah, but Martin, what if I'm dying? Then you die to the Lord. Just die to the Lord. And these are the extremes, living and dying. But again, it reduces life to a simplicity. Everything that happens to us occurs between these two bookends, living and dying. Actually, living is not a bookend. It's our existence. It's the state of not being dead. So here's what Paul has reduced this existence to. This existence, our existence in this world, he has reduced it to two things. You're either alive or you're dead. And if you're alive, you do everything to the Lord. Everything while you're alive, do it to the Lord. If you're dying, then you dedicate the whole nasty process, the death process, to the Lord. You say, to heck with it. And you just live to the Lord. Now, that's me talking, to heck with it. But that's my interpretation of this. Paul didn't say that. Paul didn't say, to heck with it. I don't want anyone saying that Martin Zender said that Paul says in Romans 14 that we should have the thought in our mind, the inclination in our mind, to heck with it. I'm not saying that. I am saying that. Martin Zender, your friend. I'm saying that this is agreeable. At least it is to me. Maybe this could be your disposition if you're so inclined. For some reason, the phrase, to heck with it, is, to me, an agreeable modern-day substitute for do everything under the Lord. In my mind, this saying colloquially pronounces that I've given up trying to please everyone. That's what I mean by to heck with it. I've given up trying to please everyone. And I've released my stranglehold on life and death. Remember, hold everything loosely. I've released my stranglehold on life and death. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. And I've released that stranglehold. And I've turned over everything in between life and death to one, capital O, to the Lord. And if Aunt Mary doesn't like it, I'm sorry. I mentioned this with smoking. And my reason for starting was to heck with it. Because I tried to do everything right in my life and disaster struck. Tried to be the best person I could. The best man, the best husband, the best father. Disaster struck in 2009, as I've already told you. And so I thought, to heck with it. Didn't mean I was going to become a criminal. It just means I was going to loosen up my life to expand more freely into the freedoms that are mine. I'm not doing anything illegal here. I'm not recommending anything illegal. I'm not telling anyone to sin. In fact, I would tell you the opposite. Don't be sinning. But I'm talking about legitimate things, legitimate pleasures. Now, see, if you're living in Indiana and you took green vein, mang da, kratom, you'd be sinning because you'd be breaking the law. which I know be subject to the superior authorities, Romans 13:1. But I'm down here in Florida. Oh, there's one county in Florida where it's illegal. This is strange indeed. Let me tell you this. If you are in Sarasota County, kratom is illegal. Sarasota County, I know. Can you believe it? Just step outside of Sarasota County, and it's legal. In Colorado, I guess you can't be in Denver. The only city in Illinois you can't take kratom is Jerseyville. Don't even know where that is. Outside of the city of Jerseyville, kratom is legal in Illinois for those over the age of 18. Mississippi, it's legal unless you live in Union County, which has banned the substance. Golly. Anyway. So I'm just telling you, don't do anything illegal, but to heck with it is my colloquial way of saying everything you do it unto your Lord, not unto your Aunt Mary. Again, the Lord is much easier to please than your Aunt Mary for some weird reason. Let's talk about the Lord. Did he live this way? Did he live in the to heck with it? Oh, he sure did. Well, Paul's telling us to live, you live under the Lord. If you die, you die unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. You know, when Paul was in Rome, he said, all have forsaken me, but the Lord stood with me. So he did it. He suffered unto the Lord. But the Lord lived and died. He came to earth via Bethlehem, via the uterine wall of a Jewish teenager, and he did that unto the Lord. Then he went to the cross. You had to really let it all hang out when he went to the cross. You had to really say, to heck with it, when he went to the cross. To heck with it. To heck with how this looks. To heck with the people mocking me. To heck with the celestial realm gearing themselves up to attack me. I do this unto God. And he let it all hang out. And by this I mean that he just lived. He just lived. He lived and he died. And he did things that you weren't supposed to do. He probably took kratom in Sarasota County in Florida. I kind of see the Lord could have done that. Why do I say that? Well, he performed miracles on the Sabbath. Ooh, you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. He performed miracles on the Sabbath. Ate corn on the Sabbath. Mingled with people he was not supposed to mingle with. As a Jewish male, he wasn't supposed to fraternize with the nations. Not even the Samaritans. And yet, what does he do? He talks to a Samaritan woman at the well. So when it came to his will and God's will, he just kind of gave up. To heck with it. He kind of almost said, to heck with my will. And he did his Father's will. He did his Father's will. And I can't see any place where our Lord was really politically correct. No, not at all. He went against every grain in the book. He lived. Again, he even broke the Sabbath. He refused what the collective of his day would have considered expedient. Well, it's expedient to only do this in the temple. It's expedient to not do miracles on the Sabbath. But he basically said, screw the religious establishment. He didn't break federal law, so to speak. He didn't go against the Romans. He just went against the religious qualms of his day, the prevailing social mores. And he did all this actively. So I'm not saying that he just sat around. It wasn't que sera, sera time. No, every day he actively gave up. Give up is a verb. He gave up trying to please everybody. And he actively said, screw it. I'm doing everything unto my God. He wanted to live, of course. But in the end, he just kind of said, out to heck with it. And he died. He threw away his life into his Father's arms. This was a radical thing to do. It took great faith. He threw away his life into his Father's arms because the Father was so much bigger than he. He admitted that himself. The Father's greater than I. And his Father laid out to him a bigger plan, to which his death and resurrection would vitally contribute. So he might be thinking, and he did have his doubts in the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't know. Jeez, this sounds kind of freaky to me. If there's another way, I'd like to explore that possibility. No, there's no other way. Oh, okay, then to heck with it. To heck with what I want. To heck with what I think is expedient. I'm just going to live and die unto my Father. And the Father's world was kind of messy. Jesus' life was kind of messy. But no one can deny the greatness of it. Greatness is always messy. Have you seen the picture of Einstein's desk taken after his death? The guy was messy. Genius is always messy. God is messy. Jesus is messy. Because they're living unto the Lord. In our Lord's case, he's living unto God. And again, there's more freedom. There's more liberation living unto the Lord than living unto Aunt Mary or unto your wife or unto your husband or unto your children. Some people just live unto their children. They do everything to please their children. That's a recipe for disaster. When they're young, children have to please their parents. Well, they have to honor their parents. But of course, the wise parent will let the kid explore, let the kid go outside and play, let the kid discover their own proclivities, hobbies. That's a good parent. Let the kid live unto the Lord as much as possible without them becoming career criminals, of course. What a range God has. Created the elephant and the daffodil. That's crazy. That's messy. That's like, whew, what a range. You definitely have to trust the one you're saying to heck with it to. You have to trust that person. We trust our Lord that he has us. That grace is real, that salvation is real, that we can't lose our salvation. See, these Christians who are so careful about everything, they think they can lose their salvation. They don't trust the one that they're supposed to live unto. They have a false image of that one that they're supposed to live unto. They think he's a hard taskmaster. They think he's ready to pull the rug out from under them. And so that's why they can't live freely. That's why they can't enjoy life. And that's why they want you to be as miserable as they are. Misery loves company. Don't join them. Don't be tempted to join them. Let them suffer in their misery. Don't live unto them. Trying to please everybody is the best way to please nobody. If you try desperately to please this person over here, you're going to make that one over there upset. I mean, we have to be accommodating. I'm a very accommodating guy. I'm a peace lover. I'm a peacemaker. But yeah, believe it or not, I am really. This business is war. This is a whole different thing. But I don't like to make waves. And I believe in live and let live. So I'm not going to force. See, I'm not forcing you to order Kratom. Take Kratom. If you're depressed and you don't take this, then it's your own damn fault. No, I'm not doing anything like that. Live and let live. And I don't expect you to tell me that I'm not a good member of the body of Christ if I drink alcohol on my show or I smoke cigarettes. I'm doing as unto the Lord. And I know I'm pushing the faith of some. Some people are very disturbed when they see me drink or smoke while doing the show. I do it on purpose. Now see, if somebody was actually sitting with me and objected vehemently, thought smoking was a sin, I wouldn't do it. Or thought drinking was a sin, I wouldn't do it. But you're a general audience out there. I'm broadcasting to the world. So I'm not gonna refrain from having a glass of whiskey just because there's one person out there who has a problem with it. But again, it's different if that person is sitting next to me. And the attitude has a lot to do with it. You're not supposed to challenge someone or to shame them into partaking of the thing that you approve of and that God is good with. Like I say, God's easier to please than Aunt Mary. Oh, yeah. But these Christians don't trust God and Christ enough to say to heck with it and to live ragged lives. King David lived a ragged life. Oh, that guy. He was all over the place. Colored outside the lines, that boy. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. David was in the mold of Christ. He was a precursor of Christ. He was a type of Christ. Christ certainly lived outside the mold. Cavorting with prostitutes. Talking to Samaritan women. Picking corn on the Sabbath. Ooh, criticizing the leaders of the church. But he followed one. And it's so easy. When you're just following one. Instead of 101. God, I got so much more to say on this, but I'm looking at my time. So I'll just end with that. You know, I like simplicity. I like things black and white too. living and dying, that's black and white. And everything in between can be summed up in this. Whatever you do in good conscience and in good faith, do it unto the Lord.